Blog Talk Radio.
Mother Valerie is, it is a great word this morning. It is a great word. We are coming out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13 and 14. We'll also be in the 37th Psalm verses 23 through 29. Our proverb today is Proverbs chapter 12 verses 15 through 16. And Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 52. And the word that God gave me this morning is, do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. He's my God, he's your God, he's our God. And we got to do what is right in his eyes. Mother Valerie, good morning again.
Good morning, Pastor.
I pray all is well with you this lovely cool morning of 49 degrees, but I just want to say I am thankful for you, Mother Valerie. I believe in my heart that God has given you that anointing to come in and to be a host, and I am grateful for you, and I just want you to know I am, and, you know, Mother Valerie is, she's my kind of girl. I just got to tell y'all that. She's my godmother, and she knew I needed help, and I am so grateful for her. Last week from today, I was doing my civic duty of work in the election. And Mother Valerie, God bless her, came in and did the entire hour show for me. And all I can say is, again, thanking God for blessing me with you. Y'all know I get emotional, so I'm going to do my best not to get all emotional and teary-eyed today because I am thankful. When I say in the morning when we come on, that I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed is because I am. God has blessed me tremendously, and I'm so thankful to just have waken up this morning, you know, that God gave me another day, that he gave all of us another day, because somebody did not wake up on this side of the earth. So we got to tell God thank you and never forget to let him know we appreciate his grace. We appreciate his mercy. You know, my pastor is traveling this morning, and so I shout out to her that we are praying for you, and we know that God will give you traveling grace, and he will bring you home safely. Mother Valerie, take us to the throne this morning.
Good morning, people of God. Good morning, Pastor Bridget. Father God, in Jesus' name, we are grateful. We are thankful. We give you praise honor and glory. We thank you, God. You did it again. You did it again. You did it again. You woke us up. And like I say all the time, the clock cannot wake us up. If you don't wake us up, we won't wake up. So we thank mm-hmm. you. A lot of people just die right in their sleep. They don't wake up. So this is a great day, a great word. God, you are God. You're the God of the heaven, the God of the earth, and we worship. We bow down to you and you alone. There is no one else. Thank you, God, for another day. Bless your word as you always do. Bless the hearers of your word. Bless the speakers. And we just give you praise, honor, and glory. And bless Pastor Jassy as he travels. Grandson that's traveling with here. And bless Carolyn as she goes to work today. We thank you, Lord. This is the day you made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanking God for all of you. Thanking God again for you, Mother Valerie. And we are getting ready to get into this absolutely awesome word this morning. Because in our word today, God is warning us not to fall for the okey-doke, not to
Amen.
Fall for those that will say they come in his name and have you worship in any old thing, having you worship mm-hmm. other gods. God is warning us. He's also telling us about paying our tithes. You know, sometimes you want to put the tithes aside because that big old bill is coming, but we got to pay our tithes, and God will make a way for everything else. I believe that. So remember, God is giving us. You know, we say, oh, that's the Old Testament stuff. You know, yesterday in the Word of God, it talked about what you could eat, Mother. And it says, if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, then you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock, which the Lord has given you, just as I have commanded you. And you may eat within your gates as much of your heart's desire. Just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You shall not eat it, that it may go well with you and your children after you. And in today's word, it's going to give us what you can eat. It's going to give us that dietary of what meat, what fish, I should say what sea creatures you can have. It's giving us an actual food list. You know, yesterday's word said you can eat anything. So it's like, well, Lord, are you saying that we can have any kind of meat? Because that's what it sounded like it was saying. So in today's lesson, God clarifies what you can and cannot eat of the animals of the field and of the fish and the sea life, what you can have and what you cannot. And what you cannot will say, oh, but Lord, I love that. Lord, I really like that. But God's word is saying you're really not supposed to eat that. And I'm sure everything we're not supposed to have is for a reason, because this body was made by God. And I believe that the things that are listed here are there for a purpose and a reason. So Mother Valerie, take us to the Word of God that we may get an education of what is good for us and what is not.
Amen. God gives you exact things that he wants you to do. And he really wants you to follow his word. I mean, we are the children of the Most High God. There's certain things that you can do, certain things that you can't do, certain things that you can do on the Sabbath, certain things that you can't do.
Come on now.
You don't work on the Sabbath. You don't go and pick up sticks. I mean, a man in the Bible lost his life. Stop breathing.
Come on.
Because he went and picked up sticks. I mean, he decided to do what he wanted to do, and you can't do it. I mean, God is exact. He tells you exactly what to do. And if you do what God tells you to do, you will live. You live a long life. Do what God wants you to do. I mean, I'm 80 years old. Do what God wants you to do. Live the way God wants you to do. We are people of the Most High God. We're ambassadors of Christ. And if you're representing God, you should be different. You can't do what the world do and then come in there and represent God, get behind the pool pit. You can't drink and cuss and fuss. It's what the world do. And you say that you're representatives of God? No. The pastor have the right to set you down. I mean, if she knows, she has the right to set you down. God wants you to live a holy life. Holiness is right. He said live a holy life and do what the Lord says to do. I mean, it's just right. If you're going to represent Christ, represent Christ. If you're going to represent the devil, represent the devil. Deuteronomy 13:1-29. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you should not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. You know God is not telling a prophet to tell you to go after other gods. You know that that's not of God. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You should walk after the Lord your God and serve him. Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. You should serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. He shall be put to death. Because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, enticed you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you should put away the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, the son of your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is as your own soul, secretly entice you, saying, let us go and serve other gods. If anybody tell you, let us serve other gods, you know doggone well that that's not a friend. It's just somebody that you were acquainted with. It's not a friend. A friend is not going to tell you, come on, let us go and serve other gods. Mm-mm. Which you have not known, neither nor your fathers, or the gods of the people which are around you, near to you, or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. You shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people, and you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear and not again do such wickedness as this among you. Anybody try to entice you from God, you know something is wrong with them. I mean, something is wrong with them. Especially if they are saying that they are children of the Most High God. You don't listen to people who say that they are God or, come on, let's go over here and worship Jim Jones or some other person. No, God is God. If you hear of someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you, enticed inhabitants of the city, saying, let us go, serve of God. I mean, look how many times he's saying this. It looked like the third time. If he tells you this two or three times, you should listen. He said, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly. He said, utterly, destroying it, all that is in it, and its livestock, with the edge of the sword. and you shall gather all its plunder into the middle of the street and completely burn with fire the city and all its plunder. For the Lord your God, it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. So none of the accursed things shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you, and multiply you, just as he swore to your fathers, because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God, to keep all his commandments, which I command you today, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. I mean, if God is not even watching you, you still need to do what is right, because God is, don't have to watch. God is in you. You're carrying the spirit of the Holy Ghost in you. God is in you. And shall you take God into a whorehouse? Shall you take God into a liquor store and buy liquor? No, God is in you. You represent the Most High God. He speaks through you. He uses your hands, your feet. You are an ambassador for Christ. So be careful what you do in this body. Your body is holy. Chapter 14, you are the children of the Lord your God, and you should not cut yourself nor shave the front of your head for the dead, but you are a holy people. You are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people who are on the face of the earth. You should not eat any detestable things. These are the animals which you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer meat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe, the deer, the wild goat, antelope, mountain sheep. And you may eat every animal with cloven hooves, having the hooves split into two parts, and that choose the cub among the animals. Nevertheless, of those that choose the club or have cloven hoofs, you should not eat, such as these: the camel, the hare, the rock, hay rack, for they chew the club that do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean for you. Also, the swine is unclean for you, because it has cloven hooves, yet does not chew the club. You should not eat their flesh or touch their dead carcasses. These you may eat of all that are in the waters. You may eat all that have fins and scales, some good old fish. And fish is really good for people to eat. Tastes good. And whatever does not have fins and scales, you should not eat. It is unclean for you. All clean birds you may eat, but these you shall not eat: the eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the red kite, the falcon, and the kite after their kinds, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, I don't know what a short-eared owl is, the seagull, the hawk after their kinds, the little owl, the scream owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, the carry, the venture, the fisher owl, the stork, the heron after its kind, the whoopee, and the bat. I don't know what that is. The hoopah. I wonder what that is. And the bat. I know what a bat is. Also, every creeping thing that flies is unclean for you. They should not be eaten. You may eat all clean birds. You should not eat anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the alien who is within your gates, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to the foreigner. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. You are a holy people. You should not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. You should truly tithe. Talking about the tithes again. God wants you to tithe. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produce year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far for you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand. Go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. You shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. The Levite, the Lord our God, is his inheritance. At the end of every third year, you should bring out the tithe of your produce of that year. Store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion, no inheritance with you, and the strange and the fatherless, the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands which you do. Life lessons. Deuteronomy 13:3. You should not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God, a miracle is no proof of God's involvement. Pharaoh's magicians reproduce some of God's plagues, and similar things would happen in the future. The real test is, does it honor God? I mean, the devil and the Antichrist, in the end, will produce miracles. And like he said, old Pharaoh's magicians, they produce them plagues. It said, the real test is, does it honor God? So really, you have to be careful when people come and tell you that I'm a prophet and God is saying this and God is saying that. They said stone him. I don't know if we stone him in this day and age, but that's what they did way back when. They stone people that talk crazy like that. And you have to be careful. I know we don't listen to people. We don't. And you shouldn't listen to people, Jim Jones, and people that are saying that they're God. And people will come up and tell you, I am God. And actually, I don't know, the devil, an evil spirit, have gotten inside of them, and they want you to believe stuff like that. But deep down inside, mm-hmm. you get away from that because you know that that stuff is not true. There's only one God. One God. We are to love the God with all our heart, with all our soul. And that's what God wants you to do. He tells you right in his word about the clean, mm-hmm. unclean food, food with blood coming out of it. I mean, to me, I can't see people eating a steak and it's bleeding. I mean, I don't ever want to know what blood tastes like. It's unclean. And we have to be careful to do clean and unclean things. I mean, it states it right here in his word. And if a person don't know, well, you know what? Sometimes I think people don't know the word of God. And they do things contrary to God's word. You have to hear the word of God, read the word of God, study the word of God, and do the word of God. It's his word. You have to be careful. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. God is just good. He's really good. God is an awesome God.
All
Thank
the time.
You, Lord.
All the time. All the time. Mother, great word. And, you know, it is, you know, in this day and age, you know, I put a small post on my Facebook this morning when I was working on this work. And the one thing that God has spoken to me, we are in an age of corruption. You know, an age of corruption kept coming into my spirit that we have to be so careful because the enemy is busy. And in this age, all he wants to do is knock us off our square. He don't want us talking about Jesus. He don't want us out here spreading the word of God. He don't want that. He wants us caught up in foolishness, you know, getting so caught up in everything but God. And God wants us to be careful. And, you know, this is what I was given is the Lord has warned us not to listen to anyone who would entice us to serve other gods. In this age of corruption, watch and pray. Don't fall for the tricks of the evil one. That was what the word that God gave me this morning, to be careful.
Amen.
You cannot fall for the tricks of the evil one, because the one thing that he'll love to do is he knows exactly what your weaknesses are and will put a stumbling block in front of you so that you fall. You know, if your weakness is drinking beer, he gonna always make sure that you get invited to the fish fry where they serving beer. If your weakness is pornography, then he's gonna make sure that whatever seems to come on your TV has something that is sexualized in it. We got to be so very, very careful, because
Amen.
The enemy is smart and he's busy. But understand that it's not necessarily the devil, but demons are out there. Just like we have angels assigned, there are other demonic angels, the ones that fail, that also are assigned to knock you off your square. They, you know, you hear people say, I felt like I got pushed. I felt like I got pushed. You might have gotten pushed. You might have been pushed, because there's stuff that happens that we cannot explain. But one thing we can do, if you feel like you're being pushed, then you better learn how to call on the name of Jesus. I had an attack in the middle of the night one night, Mother. And I remember I felt like something was trying to hold me down. And the only thing I could do and the only thing I did do was scream, Jesus, Jesus.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, and I said, then I even screamed the Hebrew name, Yeshua. Protect.
Yes, Lord.
And all of a sudden, it's like, bam, boom. It's like light came into my room. Don't tell me what God can't do. The enemy is busy, and we got to pray. We got to watch and pray, because the evil one will try his best to knock you down. And the only thing we can do to stand up is to pray. Pray and pray some more. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your deacons. Pray for the ministers and the sisters and all those that are in your church. Pray for them. Don't put them down. Don't vilify. Pray. And watch God work. He will. Because he loves us like that. And as we go into our psalm this morning, again, the Lord is saying the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are your steps ordered by God this morning? And I am coming out of the 37th Psalm, and that was verse 23. And I'm going to read it one more time, and then we're going to keep moving. And it says, the steps of a good man, and I believe in King James it says, a righteous man. Let me get my King James out so I can have them both available here. And I am in again, like I said, the 37th Psalm, and I am going to it in my New King James. And it says in New King James, 37th Psalm is maybe it's wrong, but I love it. And I am in verse number 23. And it says, it says also in King James, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not, come on now, Mother, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. What a mighty word that was. And may the Lord add a blessing to that word. And as we go to our proverb this morning, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Can the church say amen? But he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. And as we go to a life lesson for Proverbs 12 and 15, this is the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. We all naturally assume our own opinions are right. Come on now. No one thinks I'll believe this because I know it's untrue. Wise people, however, listen to contrary opinions to see if they might have made a mistake. Fools don't. Come on now. You got to listen to both sides, but understand. You ask God for discernment. Lord, show me what's right, who's right, and what I should do. Lord God, I ask you to show me the right way. Show me to say how to say it and what to do. We got to go to God, and we got to go to God in prayer. We got to go to God believing that he can and he will take care of us, that he can and he will guide us, that he can and he will lead us in the way that we should go. We've got to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we must acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We cannot be foolish and follow after anybody. As they used to say back in the day, follow after any Tom, Dick, and Harry. We cannot do it. We've got to listen. We've got to ask for discernment. And, you know, in this political atmosphere, I don't want to hear a politician telling me all about himself. I want to know, what are you going to do for the American people? Tell me what you are going to do for the American people. I don't need to know about any other thing, but what are you going to do for the Americans? What are you going to do for the people that you are supposed to represent, each and every one? Not just this group who may be of your same political party, but of the whole nation, because we are the United States of America. We're not the Republican states of America or the Democratic states of America or the independent states of America. We are the United States of America. What are you going to do for the American people? That's what I want to hear. If you are my state representative, I want to know, what are you going to do for Illinois? What are you going to do for the people that you represent? Because God tells us in his word what he's going to do. He tells us that he loves us. He tells us that with long life, he will satisfy us. He tells us in his word that when we believe in him, that he will be with us. Did he not say in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you? We can stand on that word. He has told us everything we need to know, and that he will be with us. God said, come on now. To pray, to watch and pray. Did he not say that? Because when we watch and pray, he is protecting us from the enemy. He protects us all the time. He said, I will put up a standard. God puts up a standard around us. God blesses us, and he lets us know what he will do. He watched over Mary, did he? He watched over Zacharias and Elizabeth in their old age. And they had a child, and his name was John. Mary, young, vulnerable,
said, I will give a child because you have found favor with the Lord. And what did she do? He gave her our Savior, Jesus Christ, who every day, every minute, every hour sits on the right hand of God, protecting us and interceding for us because he knows us. I like to say, I know a man, and his name is Jesus. And as we go into our New Testament word, I didn't mean to preach this morning, but the word of God just does something to my spirit. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 52, and it says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, look, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is the same for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, of many hearts may be revealed. And we know how we would feel if we watched our child die on the cross. We know how we would feel if we knew our child gave up his life for sinful, awful people. This woman knew that her child was the same for greatness. She knew he was the Son of God, and she knew that he came to take the sins of the world. Mary was strong. She was young, but she was strong. And then it tells us about Anna. And it says, now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And the woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but serve God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, again, he had to be circumcised. He was 8 days old. So when they had to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? They did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He was about his father's business, Mother Valerie. He was not playing. He wasn't in Jerusalem playing ball with his friends, running down the street. He wasn't in Jerusalem hanging out where he didn't need to be hanging out, trying to be with the gangs that was in the street. He wasn't in any place he wasn't supposed to be. Where they found him was in the house of God. Where they found him was where he was supposed to be, about his father's business. Do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. He was doing what was right in the eyes of his father. He was about his father's business, learning what he needed to learn and imparting what he needed to impart. He was doing his job as a child. What does the word tell us? And a little child shall lead them. And as we go into some life examples and life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley, and for those that are just joining moving forward, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I love there's a little seal on the Bible cover that says guaranteed for life. And I tell you, this word is guaranteed for life, because it will give you eternal life if you trust and believe that our Father God loves us, cares for us, and has a place already set aside for us. All we have to do is keep building our house through our faith, through our love, through our worship, through our praise, through our prayers, through what good deeds and things that we do in the name of the Lord. And it says that Simeon, hold in the arms of God. The years are catching up to me, Simeon must have thought, as he made his way to the temple. How many years had it been since he had received the special word of the Lord? 5, 10? It didn't matter. Each day brought him closer to the fulfillment of God's promise. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Woo! And that we just read it in Luke chapter 2, verse 26. At that moment, a young couple emerged onto the temple porch with a newborn son. The child, Simeon thought. He approached the young family, took the baby in his arms, and immediately knew this was the one for whom he had waited so long. God had kept his promise, posted at the crux of history. The old soldier foresaw that the greatest battle of all time would be fought and won by this teeny child. There he stood, breathing the breath of Christ, whole in the arms of God. Ooh, what a word. Thank you, Dr. Sam. I just got chills. Holy child grew and became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus had to grow just like every other human child. He became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom because he grew up in the grace of God. God's grace is what makes us both strong and wise. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, that surrounds your children. Thank you for your son. In this Holy Week, let us never forget the sacrifice that our Father made for us. Luke 2 and 47, all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. From a very early age, Jesus spent a lot of time alone with his Heavenly Father that made him spiritually mature far beyond his years. You can always tell when someone has nurtured a close relationship with God. Luke 2 and 50, they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Even as a child and as a boy, Jesus spoke of spiritual issues in ways that his hearers often did not understand. Serious Christ followers, however, strive to gain understanding, as did Mary and his disciples. In Luke chapter 8 and in Luke chapter 2, his mother's probably looking at this little boy and saying, what in the world is he talking about? He's about his father's business. His father's standing right here, not understanding. He was talking about his heavenly father. Whew, what a mighty God we serve. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. Yet God had placed him in the care and under the authority of his parents. So he submitted to them, not as an inferior, but in obedience to God. He was obedient. Do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. And that is what he did. He did what was right in the eyes of God. He was in the temple about his father's business. He was doing what he was told to do by the Holy Spirit. And we must do what we're told to do by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I just am so filled up this morning. What an awesome and mighty word we have just read today. Thank you, Mother Valerie. I thank God for you again. And I have a prayer this morning from our 365 days of prayer on this 26th day of March. And it says, with joy, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. God of my great joy, you are wonderful. Right here where my feet are planted is where I will jump for joy. Mother got to have that rapture jump. Because you are good.
Amen.
When I look at my life, I see the mark of your mercy all over it. Your delight over me fills me with courage. And I can't help but rejoice over your great love. When I thought I had lost the ability to feel joy, when the dark night stretched into a dark season, ooh, talking all to me, and the light of life felt like a distant memory, you led me out into an open space to rest. Slowly, as my heart opened to the light of your love, I felt its rays softening the hardness. As my heart comes alive in you again, how could I not rejoice? I am so grateful that joy is not superficial. It reaches to the depths. It fills the deepest crevices of pain and flows into the cracks that seem too deep to reach. How good you are, oh faithful one. And the question for this morning as we wrap up is, what joys are in your life right now? And I can tell you, God is good. The joy that I feel when I think about how good God has been to me, how many times he has saved my life, how many times he's kept me from darkness, how many times he pulled me out of those dark places where the enemy tried to take me. I am grateful that I am a child of God. I am grateful that I am loved, that I am cherished, and that he cares about me. What a mighty God we serve. And as we go into Sister Carolyn's words, she overslept a little bit yesterday. She wasn't feeling good, but I'm grateful that she is back at work today. And our word for yesterday was this. Good morning. You are who can do what God says you can do. Have a marvelous Monday. And you know what I did? I had a good day. I was tired because I had been up and running from early in the morning on Sunday until late in the evening. And so by the time I got ready to hit my bed, I was knocked out and gone. So I do understand And I'm grateful. You know, when I came home yesterday after going to work, I was a little tired. And the next thing I know, I was in my bed by 7:30 and asleep by 9 because my daughter called me and I wound up talking to her for a couple hours. So I do know, ooh, tired. But I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And I felt good and I had to laugh. Because this morning I wasn't up like I normally am with Sister Carolyn since I worked at 2 or 3 in the morning. This morning I was knocked out. She sent it at 1:30. I was sleeping real good by 1:30 this morning. And I didn't wake up until about 6, almost 6. So I'm grateful God gave me peaceful rest. And it says this, good morning. When something or someone leaves your life from God, getting you ready
Amen.
For who or what is to come into your life. He always knows what's best. Have a trust God Tuesday. Don't get upset when that friend that you thought you had for the last 5, 10, 15, 20, even 50 years, all of a sudden acts like they don't want to be bothered with you and just start acting all crazy and funny. Don't worry about it. It may be that God is taking out the trash. I'm sorry to say it like that, but it may be God is taking out the trash and that is not somebody you needed to have been friends with for 50 years because every time they came around you, you fell off of when they left because everything that you're trying to do, they always had something negative to say. Well, why did you get married to him? Now, you know you got a great husband. But they're going to tell you, ooh, if it was me. Now, of course, they single. But if it was me, girl, I wouldn't let him talk to me like that. If it was me, he wouldn't be making me go to church every Sunday. I would go when I wanted to because can't nobody tell you what to do and how to worship God. If it was me, and when if it was me left your life, you just felt like a breath of fresh air. And then you got somebody that says, God's got you. Every time you have something, they say, God's got you. You can do it. You can do it. Always encouraging you. Always lifting you up. Always making you feel good. Always ready to talk about the Lord with you. Not being ashamed to proclaim the name of Jesus. And you're like, wow, I haven't seen, you know, Bertha in a long time. But I sure do like Bernice. You know, because Bertha always came with something negative, but Bernice always had a great word. Bernice was the one that didn't mind praying with you. Bernice was the one that called you when you were sick and said, are you all right? Do you need me to bring you something? What you need? I'll be over. I'm coming over. I'm coming over to help you, okay? I got you. That's what we want in life. We want the Bernices because sometimes the Berthas can bring us down. And God may move the Bertha out of your life, can bring in the Bernice. And he might have sent Jim out of your life so he can bring Daniel. We don't know what God's got planned for us, but we need to know that we are blessed, we are favored, and we are loved by God. So one more time, as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it, when something or someone leaves your life, come on now, take it as a gift from God. Getting you ready for who or what is to come into your life. He always knows what's best. Have a trust God Tuesday. Praise the Lord, Saint. Praise the Lord. I always think about when I was working, you know, I had some issues with someone who was their goal was to make me quit my job. So they did everything they could, even move me out of my position. Couldn't take my title, couldn't take my money, but put me on assignment in someplace else. Try to break my spirit. But every day I came in with a smile on my face and the joy of the Lord in my heart. I'm like, God gave me this. And when it's time for me to leave, God will let me know and always have some better. Now, understand it. You're working for the benefit. And then I found out, because, you know, I worked on the behalf of of the one in charge of the state of Illinois. I worked on the whims of the governor. And when a new governor came in that was not the same political party as myself, I was let go, as they say. But God said, no, you're not being let go, daughter. You're being retired. And the next day when I went to the retirement office, they're like, oh, you could have retired last year. And, oh, and by the way, you got this benefit, and that benefit. So, in other words, when I left, I wound up making more than when I was trying to hold on. Because when God says it's time to go, it's time to go. And he'll open the door for you to go and give you everything you need and more than you could ever ask for. All I can say is God has blessed me ever since. And when I went to work again, because I thought I was going to be laid back, feet up, retired, bills paid, everything done. Send me back to work and to do what he called me to do, to not only work with children, you know, tutor, but he also called me to work with seniors. And now I have to laugh. I said, Lord, I'm a senior myself. And he said, but you're not a senior. You got work to do. So I still continue to work the work that I've been called to work with seniors and to take care of them. And I laugh every day because it has been the joy of my heart, because seniors have a lot of wisdom. And when they impart something, you can't do nothing more than laugh when you see what they told you come into light. You can't do nothing more than crack up because you say, you know what? Miss such and such told me that, or Mr. such and such told me that. And you can't do number left and say, Lord, thank you for the wisdom of the elderly. Thank you for the wisdom of your seniors. Thank you for the wisdom of mothers that come into your life that are ready to hold you up when you're falling down. So thank you, Mother Valerie, as we get ready to leave this place, hopefully different than when we came. We pray out to the Father. Father God in heaven, we thank you for loving us more than we could ever imagine. Father God, continue guiding and leading us in how you want us to walk, how you want us to talk, how you want us to live. Father God, may your will be done in our life, in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits. May we take you with us wherever we go. For you are the light that shines in and out of us. And we thank you for the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. We thank you, Jesus, for your grace. And as we depart, we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours. Because why? We love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a blessed day, family. Keep God first in everything you do. And Mother Valerie, we give honor to Mother because it is a wrap. It's a wrap, y'all.
And you know what, people? Do what is right. Do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. God is a good
Amen.
God, and he just wants his children to do what is right. And when you do what is right, it's really for your own benefit. He's not going to tell
Amen.
You to do something wrong. Do what is right in the eye of the Lord. It said the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, and we don't want to be fools. We really don't. We want to heed counsel is wise and do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. God is good. God is a good God.
He is
and it
good.
Says the steps
Amen.
Of good men are ordered by the Lord, and he delights
Amen.
In his way. So do what is right in the eyes of the Lord.
What's
you can't
right.
go wrong by doing what is right. In Jesus' name. Amen. You
in
know
Jesus
what?
Name. Amen.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.